Is that all right? That's all right then. So yeah, Pentecost, the birthday of the church. That's exciting stuff, isn't it? Imagine being there on that day, the birth of the church. Imagine being there with like sounds of rushing wind from heaven and sights of flames of tongues of fire resting on all of your mates. Everyone speaking in different languages, all filled with the Holy Spirit, all bursting and buzzing, and the place fulfilled with the promise of power. Power that enabled them to witness the good news of Jesus Christ. To know that we can be redeemed, we can be re-identified and to live with kingdom values. Imagine being there with the gift of the Spirit in all its newness being sent, unwrapped, looked at, grasped, heard, felt in all of his glory. And for those Jews that thought that everyone was drunk, Peter was no longer afraid. He stood up and he quoted Joel's prophecy from hundreds of years before. And I'm just going to read it again now because it's pretty cool. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Before the coming days of the great and glorious day of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and that means you, it means me, it means them, it means everyone. So on that first day of Pentecost, it didn't just mean that once a year we can celebrate it with balloons and dancing and whatever. It means that every day we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think all of us need reminding of that once in a while. So the gift of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by Joel and it was promised by Jesus. And what an amazing gift it is. It's given to us by the grace of God. So let's welcome him in this place because it's a blessing. It's not given to us because of something that we've done. We don't earn it. It's not because you sat here in church or because of any righteous deeds you might have done. The gift of the Spirit is because Jesus keeps his promises and he's given us the faith to believe in his power. Jesus promised to be with us after his death. Christ died, he was resurrected, he ascended into heaven and is now exalted at the right hand of God the Father. And he promised that after his ascension, the Spirit of truth would come and be with us forever as a helper, as an advocate, as a comfort. The kingdom of heaven is where Jesus is, where the Spirit dwells in us. And I pray today that we'll get that. Like from that reading, sometimes I think we just read it and we don't actually get it. Jesus is in the Father. We are in Jesus and he is in us. His words are God's words and God gave us the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. The gift of the Spirit's gentle, it won't be forced on you, but it will be given if you ask. So today ask, invite the Spirit in, accept it, unwrap it, treasure it and hold it in your heart always because it's better than Christmas. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even have Christmas. We wouldn't be celebrating Christmas. So what does this gift do? And what do we do with it? Well, the Holy Spirit speaks truth about God. When you open up and make room for the Spirit, you have a clearer picture of what God's saying to you. And it might not always be what you want to hear, but it is always good for you. Maybe that's what happened to the disciples. It all made sense. They didn't need to be afraid anymore. And Jesus told them that he had to leave them in order for the Spirit to come. Have you ever had anyone sort of ask you where you would go if you could go through time travel? Because I always think, oh, I'd love to go back and see Jesus. I'd love to do that. I'd go and sit with Jesus and be with him and learn all the things he's got to say. And then I suddenly remember, well, I'm already with him. He's here now, a Spirit. I don't need to walk with Jesus the man when I can live with Jesus glorified through the Spirit. That's even better. That's more awesome. So the Spirit testifies who we are. We're children of God. We're set free. We're God's people filled with God's Spirit. And this is why we choose to get baptized. We want to publicly affirm that we're God's people. We want to be filled afresh with the Spirit, maybe in a more committed way. At baptism, we declare and accept that we are forgiven and we are made new. But it doesn't end there. That's just, it's too easy. You can't just end it there. It's the beginning of a new adventure. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us along on that journey. Because the Spirit renews us, affirms us, guides us, empowers us, and leads us into battle. And then when we're weary, the Spirit refreshes us, comforts us, fills us again, and anoints us all over again. So with the Spirit, we don't have to live in the drudgery of life. We can live in a circle of grace. So let's live in that circle of grace, and let's live as if we're out of this world, not part of this world. Live with the eternal Spirit living in you, because your eternity starts now, right here, right now. So live. Don't live to die and reach heaven because you're saved by grace. But live to let what you do be Spirit-led and to fight injustice, not avoid it. By the power of the Spirit, be part of God's salvation plan. Be part of saving the world, not escaping it. The Spirit will help you mix with the goats. There is no us and them, no Jew or Gentile. There is hope. In Jesus, we've got hope, and in the Spirit, we've got the power to live in God's kingdom and to witness that to the world. It's the Holy Spirit that enables this service, that equips the church to fulfill God's salvation plan. Without the Spirit, the church would be lost. We would have lost Jesus. He had to leave us for the Spirit to be among us so that we could spread the good news. Now, a man called John Stott said that perhaps we might say that the Holy Spirit opened up a school of Jesus that day. So let's be hungry for the Holy Spirit to help us to know Jesus more clearly and to help us to teach the gospel. Because like Paul, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the good news for everyone. And with the Holy Spirit, we can share it without fear. Now at Food Cycle, we've got different faiths coming in for a shared meal and spending time together. There's Sunni Muslims, Shia Muslims, Catholics, Anglicans, Mormons, atheists, agnostics. And what an opportunity it is for the church to carry the simple yet awesome news of Jesus to our community. It's an opportunity to show love and generosity and prayer through the power of the Holy Spirit and to fight the injustice of food poverty and waste at the same time. And when you're speaking to people with other faiths and different beliefs, if you speak with wisdom in the Holy Spirit, there is no offence in the gospel of Christ. It doesn't offend. In fact, it can transform and change you. And I'm actually standing here as testimony to that. The word of God, the Spirit of truth, has power over the wisdom of this world. And it doesn't matter if you're intellectual or not, because Jesus told his disciples they'd know what to say when challenged in the synagogues. And you too can know what to say to those people in your families who don't know Jesus, or those people on your front lines at work, wherever it is you go, where you're meeting people all the time. You'll know what to say if you're Spirit-led. Have confidence that the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will speak through you and teach us to defend our faith and to speak about God at the times when we need to. His Holy Spirit will give you words that impact others. You might not be able to convert them, but you'll definitely be able to say words that will impact other people's lives. You don't need to be clever to talk about God. You just need to have faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, on that first day of Pentecost, people heard their own languages. Because God meets us in the divide and difficulty of different languages. He helps us speak truth in a way that can be understood. Some may understand Spanish, like Abby. Some may understand French. Some may understand, I don't know, all sorts of things. But God speaks to us in a way that we can understand. Some may understand and grasp big intellectual words, and others just need to hold on tight to that simple truth that Jesus loves them. Let's be a church that's filled with the Spirit, and let's be hungry to carry the good news to the marginal, to the lost, to the hungry and to the lonely, to those places in society where there's a need, and that needs Jesus. I want St. Peter's to be like the church in Thessalonica, where the good good news of the Lord's message rang out not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but their faith in God became known everywhere. I want the Lord's message to ring out from St. Peter's, not only in Greenhill and Low Edgers, but everywhere we go. But guess what? We can't do that on our own. We have to do it in the power of the Spirit. So today, let's not just remember Pentecost. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out over us and to fill us in a way where we can hear the sound of rushing wind, where we can feel fire burning inside. Let's be that disciple-making church that Jesus wants us to be. Let's be transformed by the grace of God more into the likeness of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit anoint you. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and through you. Now, some of us today might be feeling a bit unworthy for the Holy Spirit. We might think we can't receive the Holy Spirit because we know that we've sinned. And all too often, that sin can take control. Sin creeps into situations really, really easily. And before we know it, we're in a wrong place and we're doing something that we kind of know we shouldn't be doing. But it's too late. Sin's got us. And when that happens, we forget that we're children of God. We've let that sin take control. We forget that the wonderful fruits of the Spirit aren't there. And when sin takes over, the fruits seem to turn rotten. And it's the Spirit that can fill us afresh with his fruits. And I just wonder, does anyone know what the fruits of the Spirit are? No? That means I'm going to have to sing them. Oh, no. Because the only way I know how to say the fruits of the Spirit is by singing this song. Well, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. See, I'm not very good at singing. Thank you. So, yeah, they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. So if you're feeling a little bit empty today, remember his Spirit is here. Just believe it and get one of us to pray for you because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We all need help and friends and fellowship and prayer. And I'm blessed to have some great friends in this church because when I'm falling short, they guide me back to God. They give advice without judgment. They affirm decisions and they pray with me. And I often lack self-control. And when I do lack that self-control, it takes away my goodness, which in turn takes away my peace. But I'm blessed to have some really wonderful friends who use the Holy Spirit to guide me back to Christ. And just this morning, my friend sent me a Bible verse. And I just want to read it to you now because it's just a good thing to know. She sent me this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And when she sent me that, I was actually thinking, oh, do you know, I'm so sorry for my sins. I really, really am. And at the same time, I was reading this from Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. We need each other to be driven by the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us live the life that God wants for us. And we should be living lives, loving Jesus, talking about him, worshipping him, sharing him. And it's the Spirit that unifies us to do this. It's the Spirit that brings us together, binds us together in the church. Because we're all different. We've all got different political views. We can even interpret parts of the Bible differently. But in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, there's hope of unity. We're a diverse community. We're a diverse world that's got many conflicts, yet the Spirit unifies us in truth. The fundamental part of being God's church is the radical, upside-down, topsy-turvy beauty of Jesus. Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. So don't let differences destroy the image of Christ in you. We're going to spend some time in prayer and prayer with prayer ministry. So I urge you to invite the Spirit in. I urge you to be expectant. No matter what's going on in your life, if you feel empty, you can be filled with the Spirit. And if you feel full, then praise God and let the Spirit anoint you. And he may come in a way that you expect, but just be open to receive the Spirit. He may come in a way that you don't expect. The Spirit can touch us with flames of fire, setting that fire deep down inside. We're giving you a passionate yearning to shout out God's name to the rooftops. Or that same Spirit can set you on fire with a stillness, a deep stillness deep inside. With a gentleness that's so great that even the darkest, heaviest place is lifted up and lit. Now, a few years ago when I was a new Christian, I went to this like 8-hour prayer and fasting thing, and we were led to pray for the Holy Spirit to come with rushing winds and flames of fire, and it was really weird, and there were all these people screaming and falling down beside me and everything, and I was thinking, oh, is this what's going to happen? Is this what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was like proper freaked out, and it was really weird. But as I prayed for the Spirit to fill me in the middle of all this noise, a quiet, gentle whisper said to me, calm and patience, over and over again. And that was what the Spirit led me to. I'd got 4 children who were really little then, and as a single mum with no family to help, I needed calm and patience. And the Spirit equipped me. So let the Spirit touch you today. Because God meets you where you are and he gives you what you need. Be expectant. The Spirit's with us now in this room, so welcome him, feel him, breathe him, be overcome with him. And if you want to shout, shout. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to laugh, laugh. But don't stifle the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Expect him in an unexpected way and accept what the Spirit gives you and let Jesus use you today. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live with the Holy Spirit and go and bless the world and turn it upside down and let God's kingdom shine. Amen.